You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and today we're looking at the coat of many colors, Joseph and the coat of many colors, today on Words of Encouragement.
This morning, continuing looking at the great stories of the Bible, we're looking at Joseph and his coat of many colors. How many of you in Sunday school when you were little had a color sheet and you got to color Joseph's coat? I see a lot of you. Okay, I remember doing that. That was big, big time color time, you know, in Sunday school when we got to do that. Always loved that. Interactive Sunday school. That was good stuff. Well, I don't have a color sheet for you today, and I'm sorry for that. But before we begin this, before we begin looking at this story about Joseph and his coat of many colors, I felt the need to kind of get us up to speed on some birth orders and people identification here. It always helps to kind of get things in context. Let's look back and remember. Let's see here. Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. Okay, so Isaac has a son, Jacob, or as he's referred to in verse 3 here, Israel. Israel, or Jacob, had a son named Joseph. And so today we're looking at Joseph and how God used him. Have you ever gone through a tough time only to realize on the other side of the tough time that God used that tough time to get you in a specific place? Either a specific place geographically, or a specific place spiritually, or a specific place mentally. Sometimes God allows us to go through some tough times in our lives in order to get us where He wants us to be. Now, I don't like that. I don't know about you. I don't like going through tough times. Tough times are not my, you know, that's not what I choose to do. I don't say, oh God, give me a tough time so that you can get me where I need to be. Oh God, just put me where I need to be. That's what I pray. God, I don't want to go through the tough times. That's not uncomfortable. And we don't like tough times. And I mean, if you do, maybe you need some counseling. But most of us don't like tough times. We don't like going through hard and difficult situations and moments in our life. What about this? God sometimes allows this. He sometimes allows things to happen so that He can get us where He wants us. And sometimes through the tough time, we're able, on the other side of it, when we get through it, to look back and see God's hand. And so we're able to see. So sometimes that's what God is doing. He is seeking to help us to see that He is with us. And that His hand of care, His hand of protection, His hand of love, His hand of forgiveness is upon us. And so sometimes we do have to go through some difficult times in order to see that. Because I, as a pastor, could stand here every Sunday and tell you, God's hand is upon you. God is with you. And you would agree, yes, God is with me. But then when the tough time comes, oh my goodness, wait a minute. I don't feel like He's here. Oh yeah, well, you can't trust your feelings there either. You have to trust what the Word of God tells you. And if God says He is with you, He is with you. But sometimes we don't grasp that. We don't fully understand it until we've been through a tough time where God has been with us and we can look back and say, okay, now I get it. Now I see it. Now I understand. Well, this is the story of Joseph today. Just a portion of his story. We will be doing, I hate to do a three-part series within the series, but we are doing that because Joseph's story must be told. And we can't get it all in one sermon, or we'd be here until tomorrow. Okay, well, if you are able, and you can, I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're looking at Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we'll look at more than just these two verses, but for now, What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a varicolored tunic," or a full-length robe. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms or in peace. Goodness. May God bless the reading of His Word for us and to us today. I ask that you be seated. Well, here is Jacob, or Israel. We'll call him Jacob, and I may slip up and call him Israel throughout this, but Jacob has a favorite son. Jacob has a favorite son. In verse 1, it says, "Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan." So they're in Hebron, known also as Mamre, which is part of the land of Canaan. Look at verse 2. "These are the records of the generation of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father." Oh. We see Joseph is 17 here. He's out with his brothers. Now, we remember when you were 17? This 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old range, that in there, you're finding out who you are. You're discovering who you are. You're trying to decide, well, am I, what kind of personality do I have? What do I like? What do I not like? Who am I going to be when I grow up? There's a lot of things going on in that age range, and especially here in Joseph. He has half-brothers. Now, these are half-brothers, a lot of these that he has here. And he's out with them pasturing the flock. They are half-brothers, brothers from different mothers. Jacob had taken Bilhah and Zilpah as wives, and so there we go. Also in this verse, though, we find Joseph saw something that they did. He saw something they did. He realized it was not good. Now, at 17, these are his half-brothers. He sees them doing something not right, not quite right, and he feels the need to share it with his father. Now, he sounds like a tattletale here. It sounds like he's just running and telling on his, you know, on his brothers. But I think he has a desire to do what is right, and he has a desire to call out what is wrong. He has a feeling, a desire to say something. When you see somebody, if you saw somebody shoplifting, would you report it? What would you do? You know, I've asked you if you've seen that show on ABC before. What would you do? If you saw somebody shoplifting, would you report it? Would you sit there and say, "Well, I just can't believe it"? Would you come home and get on the phone? "I just saw somebody shoplifting at the grocery store. I can't believe it." Is that what you would do? Or would you report it? Would you stand up and say something? Joseph feels the need to share with his father that he saw something that was not quite right. That his brothers have done something wrong. We find some very revealing information here in verse 3 concerning Joseph. It says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons." Ouch. The fact that it's printed. The fact that it's printed in the book of God. I would hate to have that printed in God's word for all mankind, for all of his history and time. Here it is. Here it is. Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varicolored tunic. Oh boy, oh boy. A coat of many colors. Oh boy. He is loved more than all his sons, all his children. Ouch. This sets Joseph apart from everyone else, all of his siblings, in a very interesting way here. Joseph is the best loved son of Jacob's best loved wife, Rachel. And he Joseph is just, he hung the moon. Joseph is awesome. He just loves Joseph. So Jacob, or Israel, makes him a special tunic or coat. Now the coat is thought to be made of various materials. And the Greek translation of the Old Testament tells us it was multicolored. The King James calls it a coat of many colors. The actual word means from shoulder to wrist. So it's a long-sleeved coat. So Jacob has blessed his son in a way he has not blessed his other children. Now, I don't know about you, but if you had more than one child growing up, what did you do? Go ahead, what did you do? Oh, make sure everything's equal. Make sure that Johnny gets 5 presents and Susie gets 5 presents. Okay, you know, you got to be equal. You got to make sure. Because, oh my goodness, don't you know those kids can count. And they're going to notice. Oh boy. And then they're not the same. Oh my goodness. And so here it's obvious that there is something going on when Joseph gets a very nice coat. A very nice multicolored coat. A special coat from his father that none of the others get. Something stands out in the life of Joseph here. He has been blessed like no other child in the family. So Joseph is sticking out in regard to the other children. Look at verse 4. His brothers saw that their father, there it is, his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. And so they loved him even more. Oh, okay, some of you can read. All right, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. They could not be even civil with their own brother. They could not even just have a decent conversation with him. They could not. They had so much hatred, in their hearts for him. Goodness gracious. Even most of us, even we can fake it with somebody we don't like and have a civil conversation. And if you can't fake it, I ask that you try. And you keep on trying until you do it, because the more you do it, the more real, and maybe the more real the compassion and care will be toward that person from you. Now, my old boy preacher, I got to be truthful. I don't like them, so I'm going to mistreat them. Okay, well, you need to work that out. Something needs to happen. You need to go get some counseling. You need to do, oh, but they bothered me and they said some things and I'm just holding a grudge against them forever. That's what I'm going to do. Well, okay, you live in the pain. I can assure you that the one you have the pain against, the one that you have the pain because of, they're fine. They're moving on in their life. They're doing fine. So you are doing yourself a huge disfavor by holding on to that grudge. Now, we can get it. That's a whole nother sermon altogether. But my goodness, deal with it. Do something about that if you have hatred for someone else. But what can we learn from what's happened in verses 1 through 4? I think that we can see when we show favoritism, there will always be someone who feels left out, someone who feels inferior, someone left to feel just not as good as the one we favor. And that's not fun. I've seen this happen in churches. I've seen it where, oh, the preacher likes them because they give a lot of money. Look, I don't know who gives and doesn't. You remember that. And there, let me fall into some Louisiana talk here. Ain't no way I'm going to ever know because I don't want to know. That's between you and the Lord. And I love you because of you, who you are. That's why I love you. And you don't, no. Oh, well, the preacher likes them best. Oh, I've seen that in other churches. I've heard people talk. Oh, well, he just loves them more. He never talks to them over there or me or whatever. You know what that is? That's the devil at work. That is the devil at work. And that doesn't need to be in the church. But there he is. Sometimes he pops up. But when there is favoritism, somebody feels left out. Somebody feels inferior. Jealousy can rise up and take over the minds and hearts of those who are left out. And that's what's happened here. These brothers, they're left out. Oh, Joseph gets a new coat. You know,
I'm wearing this and it's threadbare and I can't even, you know, it doesn't even fit me anymore. But oh yeah, Joseph gets a nice brand new coat. He's the favored one, the golden child. You know, he's the one. Daddy always likes him best. I mean, it's just, you can see the pain that is happening here because of the favoritism. But as believers, you and I, we need to be fair in our view, as fair in our view of others as we possibly can. We need to be as fair as we can. You know, I hate how we lump people into stuff all the time. We do this. We take people and we put them in a spot and we say, well, that's because of blah, blah, blah. They don't want to do that, blah, blah, blah. And we just generalize and throw people in places and put them in a little box. And what do we know? Do we know their entire backstory? Do we know everybody's history in town? Do we know everything about them that we can actually say, well, that's because that's why they are the way they are? We don't know everybody's history. We don't know what's going on. But we're so quick to make choices. We need to be as fair in our view of others as we possibly can. Why? Because we're the children of God.
Yes.
And we must preach God to the people. And we can't do that if we're being unfair. Well, the second thing we see, Joseph dreams dreams. Because the relationship between he and his brothers is already strained, one might think that Joseph would tiptoe lightly around his brothers. One might think that Joseph, knowing that, well, they don't like me very much, I'm going to be careful here, you would think he might be very careful and try to keep the peace as best he can. You might think that. But look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, then Joseph had a dream. Now, King James puts it, dreams a dream. And that's the actual, and you look in the Hebrew, that's what it says. And I love that. He dreams a dream. So then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Good night. Can't they just be happy he had a dream? You know, you can't help you have a dream. What do you do when you have a dream? You share it with somebody. I always share my dreams with Suzanne. Now, some of them are weird. You know, she's like, what in the world? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't direct the dream. Somebody else directed the dream. I don't know. It's weird. It just happens. I don't know. We dream. We have some weird dreams. And I do. I have some odd ones when I can remember them. Haven't had any. I've remembered it a long time. But here's Joseph. He has a dream. And he shares it. He shares his dream with his brothers. Well, it involves his brothers, and so, of course, you know, if I dreamed about you, I've told you about it. I've said, well, you know, I had this dream, and you were in it. It's crazy. He's telling the dream. All right, look at verse 7. For behold, we were binding sheaves. Well, go back up to verse 6. He says, he said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood, and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. What? Now remember, any dream he has is not going to be favorable in the eyes of his brothers. You know, if anything he does, they hate him already. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you dream. You share your little dream with somebody else, Joseph. The dreamer, the big dreamer here. Well, but he shares this dream because it involves them. Look at verse 8. Then his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, I don't know how you measure hate. Oh, I hate them just a little bit. Oh, I hate them a lot. Oh, I hate them even more. I don't know how you do that, but they do not like him. That's the point. This is their brother, through their father, this is their brother. He's a half-brother to them, too. But they do not like him. They do not like him. They're not happy with this dream. This just makes them angrier with him. Joseph then has another dream of them bowing down. And many think that the sun and moon that are used in the dream that he has here is including his mother and his father. His father rebukes him and his brothers envy him because he was able to see things they could not. But his father observed and kept the saying in mind.
The father takes this in. He's like, I don't like this, but something, what is this? I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember this dream that my boy has had. This is odd. I'm going to remember this. In other words, he did not forget. Considered a lower form of prophecy, dreams are sometimes used by God to speak to us, to inform us. Now, not all dreams are directly from God. I don't believe they are, but some are. I would say it's rare occasion that God speaks through dreams. I would say it's rare. For Joseph, it's special here. Later, we're going to see that he can interpret other people's dreams too. So God is moving, using Joseph here. Even when dreams are from God, not everyone who hears them will believe them. Can we also say that not everyone who has the dream believes them? I think we can. I mean, not even the one who had the dream believes that, oh, wow, this is going to happen. So it's interesting. It's an interesting thing that's happening here, and an interesting way that God communicates. Not all the time, but it's within His realm of capability. God is God. I mean, God can communicate with us however He wants to. Now you go get your email, and if you got something from God. Now, hey, look, I don't know. I'm just saying, God can communicate with us any way He wants to. It's in His wheelhouse. I mean, He can do this. As believers, we need to be open to the possibility that God just might speak to us through a dream. He just might do it. We need to be open to that. We need to be aware that God can do what He wants to do. That's our main point here. Well, the last thing here that we see, Joseph is sold or stolen into slavery. Look at verse 12. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Okay, so they're jealous of their brother Joseph, and they go off to work in Shechem. And Joseph's father then sends Joseph to visit his brothers. Check on them. How are they doing? Are they doing okay? I mean, somebody's got to go look out. You know, it's a shame that Jacob couldn't just pick up the cell phone and say, hey, boys, how's it going out there in Shechem? Is everything okay? It's a shame that he couldn't do that, but that was not the time. So you got to send a boy out there. You got to send your son out there. He's family. He's going to tell the truth. He's already, you know, said he's already kind of ratted on his brothers for doing something wrong that he needed. He thought, wait, daddy needs to know about this. So he's already done that. He knows Joseph, and Joseph is favored by Jacob. So Jacob says, Joseph, go check on your brothers. See if they're okay. I want to know. So Joseph goes to check on them, and he sees, you know, the flock and make sure everything's okay. Notice in verse 14, he said to them, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers, the welfare of the flock, and bring back word to me. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. He sent from the valley of Hebron to Shechem. That's over 50 miles away. So 50 miles away, he runs into a man on the way. And he heard, this man says, Joseph, your brothers were headed to Dothan. Now, not Dothan, Alabama, okay? But Dothan in the land of Canaan. All right, I thought that'd be kind of funny to you, but evidently not. You're almost asleep. All right, wake up. Okay, Joseph makes his way there. So we got Joseph. Daddy says, go. Joseph says, okay. Joseph's going. He's going to Shechem. But oops, they've gone to Dothan. Okay, so he goes there. So look at verses 18 through 20. When they saw him from a distance, the brothers, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. Family. Oh, but Brother Craig, they were half brothers. I don't care. They had the same dad. They're family. Come on. They plot to put him to death. They see him from a distance. Oh, there's Joseph, man. We're going to get rid of him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer, or the master of dreams, it's translated. The master of dreams is coming. Now, I mean, they're even making fun of him, you know. All right, now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we will say, this is the official, unofficial, I mean, this is the official report. On paper, it will say, a wild beast devoured him. then let us see what will become of his dreams.
Ooh, mercy. But one of his half-brothers, Reuben
grabs him and demands, no, don't take his life. Don't take his life. Just throw him in this pit. Throw him in this pit. Because Reuben plans to come back later and collect Joseph and take him home. Reuben seems to care about Joseph. He is a brother. He is family. Maybe Reuben has something inside of him that says, you know, killing family is not right. I mean, we don't do that. We don't do that. My mother never had to tell me we don't do that. I just knew that we don't do that. We don't kill family. Well, here it is. So Reuben has, just throw him in the pit. It's okay. The Bible tells us that the brothers do throw him in the pit. But what do they take? They take the coat. They grab the coat. They take the coat. Some Ishmaelites pass by on their way to Egypt. Judah, another of the brothers, decides to sell Joseph to these Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Now, your Bible may say something about the Midianites. Some of these scholars are trying to figure this out. Some of these people maybe were traveling together, or traveling close to each other as they were making their way. But these Ishmaelites, okay, this is what's happening here. They decide to sell Joseph to these Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And so these people take Joseph to Egypt with them. Reuben appears on the scene again, says, whoa, wait a minute, the pit's empty. What happened to Joseph? Wait a minute, where is Joseph? Now the Bible tells us the brothers do not even answer. I mean, they don't even say anything. But they take Joseph's tunic, they slaughtered a male goat, they dipped the tunic in its blood. Okay, this will work, okay? We'll dip this tunic in the blood of this goat. We'll tell Daddy, Joseph got attacked. It was horrible. He's dead. That's what they're going to do. That's their plan. So they take it to him and they say to their daddy, we found this. Please examine it and see whether it's your son's tunic or not. Now, hey, no DNA testing back then, no way to find out what kind of, whose blood this is, what kind of blood this is. And they say, whose tunic is it? Daddy, is this? They know. Oh, but Daddy, is this the tunic? Is this your son's tunic? Will you look at it and see? Well, look at verses 33 through 35. The Bible tells us, then he examined it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. So Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Then all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And now this gets me here. Playing the part, these brothers are. Playing the part, these half-brothers are. Oh, Daddy, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, they know he's alive. Oh, it's okay, Daddy. Oh, I'm so sorry. It'll be okay. All of his sons and daughters rose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I will go down to the grave, to Sheol, in mourning for my son. So his father wept for him. Wow. What a picture of pain and agony. Horrible aching that cannot be quickly soothed. What a loss. He thinks his son is dead. What a loss. Even though this is a horrible situation that Joseph and his father find themselves in, God is at work. The brothers had such a hatred for Joseph that they wanted him dead. It was not sunshine days for Joseph or Jacob when he hears the news later. Things look bleak at best. During this time we find, though, again, God is at work. The situation is being worked out for Joseph. Reuben stepped up and saved Joseph's life. God had a plan for Joseph that did not include dying young. God said, I got plans for Joseph. I've got something I need him to do. I've got something I'm going to work through him to accomplish. Even though it looked as if Joseph is going to die, God's hand was on him. There are times in our lives when we face some pretty dark situations. Some pretty dark situations. You have faced some things in your life, I know. I've been here 13 years. I've walked with you through some of those tough times. I've seen as you've faced those tough times, it's hard. It's just hard. Things may appear as if they are as bad as they could ever be. But God is there with you. Remember what comes with the presence of God. His power, His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy, His love, His understanding, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His kindness. God is with you, and you have what He brings with Him because He brings it to you when He's with you. And He's with you even in the darkest times. Whatever it is you're facing, God is at work. I don't care. Listen, Brother Craig, you don't care. I don't care if you feel God is not there. Because He is there. He is there. But I don't feel it. Yeah, there are going to be those times. But the facts are He's with you. He is there. That is the fact. That's what we stand on. That's what we relish. That's what we find joy in. That's where we find happiness. God is with us. He's not somewhere else. He's not away from us. He is not departed from us. He is with us. If you're a child of God, He is with you. He is with Joseph. We don't get to find out how Joseph feels all through this story. It's kind of annoying. I would like to know, you know, Joseph wept. Joseph was upset. He was troubled. I would like to know how he felt, but we don't know. But we do know that God was there with him. We do know that God walked with him through all of this. His own family betraying him, walking away from him, wanting to kill him. And yet God is with him.
Yes.
All the way to Egypt.
Yes. Yes.
As believers, we need to be fair in our view of others as we possibly can. As fair as we can possibly be. As believers, we need to be open to the possibility that God could speak to us through a dream. He absolutely can. As believers, we must always remember that God is in control of our situations, even when things look grim. And I'm preaching this to you, and I know, what do I know? What have you been through, Brother Craig? What have you suffered through? What have you been through that you can actually say that God is with us? What have you been through? I've had times. We've all had times. I have a time right now. One of the members of my extended family having some going through a really tough time. Where is God in that? He's there. And I cannot deny. I cannot say, oh, He's not there. You know, oh boy, we're all through. We're here. Our family's just going to walk through this tough time all together. It's just going to be hard. Blah blah. No. God is there. And when God is there, He brings His presence. I mean, that's what He is. He's there. And with that presence comes that love, that grace, that mercy, that strength, that comfort. God is there.
I know that I can't convince you that God is with you. But the Bible tells us that that is true. If you are one of His children, if you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, to be in charge of your life, then God is with you. He is with you. And I just pray and hope that you can understand that you hear that today. By way of the Holy Spirit of God, I know that He will help you to know that is truth. It comes from the Word of God, so it is truth. If you have questions about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, you can always contact us by going to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. I want to thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement, and we do hope that if you have found encouragement here in this podcast, that you will share this podcast with others. Help others to know that there is a loving God who cares about them. And listen, He loves them. He loves you. And my prayer is that you understand that and that you know that today. Again, if you have any questions, please contact us at fbcwinsboro.com. We'll be more than happy to get back with you as soon as we can. Until next time, I'm Pastor Craig Beeman, and this has been Words of Encouragement.